Would you turn your swords and go to Psalm 133? Psalm 133. Glory. Praise God. Psalm 133. Everybody there? Let's speak it together. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, praise God. Unity. You know, to dwell in unity, it takes death to yourself. Amen? It takes the Spirit of God to bring us into unity so that he leads and we come into oneness. In verse 2, it says, it is like the precious what? Oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the what? Blessing, life forevermore. Now, in this, I'm going to share with you something that happened, and I don't know if I shared it already, but in this scripture, it's about unity. And in this unity, it's about the anointing, because the oil is associated with the anointing. And he says it's like the dew of Hermon. In other words, the dew that comes down, it covers. But there's also something in dew. It has a fragrance. And in this fragrance, he said, in other words, it was representation of the presence of God. And he said, in my presence is where I release the blessing. And I want to share with you that the Holy Spirit has been burning something in my spirit, and one of the things I keep seeing is a release. I am seeing a release of God's fragrance. I'm seeing a release of God's fragrance, and this release of God's fragrance is all over the world. And, you know, something happened Friday. Friday night, we had the anointing service. And at the anointing service, at the end of it, the Spirit burned something in my spirit. And I began to share about the not only the critical time, but God was using Florida. In other words, there was something going to happen in Florida that was going to spread through the country. And it's a move of God that's going to happen here in Florida. I'm talking about Central Florida. That is going to move from here across the country. And when the Spirit burned out of my spirit, I saw a foot come down like fast and hit water. And when that foot hit the water, it was almost like a wave, a tsunami that went across. And it went across the United States. And what was it, Monday? Yeah, Monday. I was supposed to go down south. And for some reason, I was like, you know what? I guess I don't need to go down south. And I went into the office. And Wade said to me, are you going to the pastor's meeting, roundtable? I said, what pastor's meeting and roundtable? And he told me that there was one right here in Ocoee. And I said, well, Lord, do I have to go to this? And he said to me, die. I said, okay, that means yes. So I went to the meeting, and there was a lot of brothers that I haven't seen in a long time, and some of them were 20 years. And it was very sweet. And one of the things that they started talking about, and somebody was there from Africa. I don't remember who it was. And they were talking about God wanting to use Central Florida to move across the country. So, of course, it got my attention. And they said that, and then Pastor Carlos from OHOP, he shared that they had a prophet visit their place, and that God, that he prophesied that the Lord was going to move in Central Florida. And God was going to put his foot down, and it was going to create a wave of God's presence to wipe across the country. So I obviously was awakened there, and I said, okay, I'm hearing. So I, before he shared that, I shared what I had seen, and then he shared with me. He says, hold on to that. And so in this, I began to realize that God is releasing his fragrance. There's a fresh fragrance coming from the throne room of God. And in this fragrance, you know, it kind of like, did you ever walk by somebody who just made fresh apple pie? You know, you walk by and go, you know, and it's like, whoa. And you want to follow where that came from because you want to taste it. And this is what's beginning to happen. And I really believe that the Lord is beginning to release this fragrance which draws man. It's a fragrance that, you know, the Bible says no man comes to the Father except for he be drawn. And he draws by the anointing. Now, the carrier of fragrance is the anointing. The anointing carries the fragrance. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So in this, the Spirit was sharing with me about this eternal fragrance that's being released because it's fresh from his throne room. Now, it's a heavenly fragrance, isn't it? And it's being released on the earth that draws men to God. Now, all creation has three specific things. It has a fragrance, a smell, and a texture. It has a sound, a smell, or fragrance, and a texture. Everything has a sound. There's some kind of vibrant sound that's coming from something. So there's three things that all creation has: sound, smell, or fragrance, and texture. If you're ever to pick up a fruit, you know, the first thing you'd want to do is smell it. You know, you feel it, okay, and then you begin to smell it. You know, even when the word says that the harvest is ripe, why is the harvest ripe? Not because of how it feels, but because of the fragrance it releases. That's when God knows it's ripe. Amen? So, all of this has also to do with expression. In other words, sound expresses, a fragrance expresses. Amen? And how you feel expresses. There's a texture that expresses itself. All things from the heavenly throne are carried by the anointing. The release will not only draw men to God, but man will respond by releasing a fragrance that will be well-pleasing to God. Man's response will be to release another fragrance to him in response. See, there's a fragrance that's pleasing to God, and there's a fragrance that isn't. Amen? In Genesis chapter 6, would you go there, please? Now, this eternal fragrance that's being released now, the fragrance from heaven, the fragrance that's coming from the throne room of God, in this release, this is release from a place of that carries no time. Amen? Does everybody understand this? You know, in other words, when God is not bound by space or time, is he? Amen. So this fragrance that's released is not released from something bound by space or time. So if it's coming from the throne room of God, it's coming from the future into the present. I want you to grab hold of something, that the things of God are associated with time also, because everything is associated with his time. That's why when you're in divine order, you release a fragrance. When you're in divine order with God, there's a fragrance that's released all the time. He knows you. He knows you. And in this fragrance that's being released, which is drawing man, is because it's his perfect time right now because of what he's getting ready to do. It may be the last fragrance released. Who knows? Amen? We don't know. But God is getting ready because he is fulfilling the scripture of Psalm 133. And in this, those who know him, those who they will sense that fragrance, they'll be drawn by God and not even realize that they're being drawn. And it's because of the fragrance. Again, it's just like, man, you can smell something and it almost puts you into trance. Oh, that smells wonderful. You know, that you want to taste it. I mean, you know, all of a sudden you lose sight of where you are because of the smell that's so wonderful. And that's what's happening right now. God is beginning to release this eternal fragrance. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 9, it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. I want you to understand that this released a fragrance that was not pleasing to God. If you've ever picked up a rotten fruit compared to a fresh, ripe fruit, there's a difference in smell and fragrance. And God said to Noah, the earth, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now go to Genesis 8 and verse 20. It says that Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal. Now this is after the flood, after the Lord destroyed all the earth. And it says that Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered the burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. What changed God's mind? The sweet smelling aroma, the fragrance. Does everybody understand that? You know, it's almost like, this may sound funny, but it's almost like God went into a trance. Oh, I'll never destroy them again. Not this way, anyways. I'll kill them by fire. It's quicker. No. It's less messy, too. But we see here an altar for burnt offering was established. It was a sweet aroma because the aroma of evil was all over the earth. And it displeased God that he had to destroy it. Amen? And after he destroyed the aroma of the earth, the fragrance that was on the earth, Noah came, landed, got out, took the clean animals and offered up on an altar. The first thing he did was built an altar to offer up, to restore a sweet aroma back to the earth. Fragrance. Does everybody got that? Okay. Go to Genesis 22. Now remember, he said that because the violence came through man, amen? The violence came through man on the earth. In other words, man agreed with evil and practiced evil, which man became violent. And so God destroyed the earth. In Genesis 22 and verse 1, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Now, was Isaac his only son? No, he had Ishmael. But God looked at Isaac as his true seed. Amen? Because Ishmael was born out of time. Has everybody got it? It was not born according to God's time. It was born out of time. And when you do something out of time, it always creates an Ishmael. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you what? Whom you love. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of God which he had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to a place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Now I wanted you to grab hold of something. Here the Lord not only tested Abraham, but Abraham was covenant with God, because God already told Abraham that his seed would remain and multiply. Amen? So you have to think, when you have a relationship with the Lord and you are in covenant with the Lord, you know God's promises. When God tells you something, you know it's going to come to pass. Amen? Regardless of what man says and what the devil says and whatever, you know, what the world says. Abraham knew, so he even knew that if he killed his son, the Lord would have to raise him from the dead, because he was covenant with the Father. Has everybody got this? Because he had a relationship with God. So he knew that even if he had to kill him, God would raise him from the dead, because the promise was that his seed would remain and multiply and be fruitful. Amen? Now in this, his son, his only son, says that he loved. Isaac was a representation of Abraham, called self. You know, why did Abraham love Isaac so much? Because he saw himself in him. Does everybody understand this? And so what was he getting ready to do? Sacrifice himself. Does everybody got this? He was looking at this because he loved him. He was a part of him now. He was one. This is his son. They were one. He didn't want to kill him, but he wanted to obey God, didn't he? So he's willing to sacrifice his son. In other words, he had to sacrifice himself as a sweet aroma. But because he was willing to sacrifice himself, God provided. He what? See, because when you're coming to a place, provision is released when you're willing to sacrifice yourself. Amen? So many times we're fighting for ourselves instead of surrendering it and allowing it to become a sweet aroma to the Lord. See, we must lay ourselves on the altar every day. That's why he says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Amen? Why? You do that because you're putting yourself on the altar that it may be a sweet aroma to the Lord. And you're exchanging yourself for provision. Has everybody got this? Praise God. Now look at what happens here. Oh, hallelujah. And it says here then, Then Abraham lifted his eyes in verse 13 and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will what? Provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their what? Of their enemies. Why? Because he was willing to sacrifice himself. Oh, glory. Abraham was tested to make an offering. Amen? So God provided the offering so that that ram could become a sweet aroma to the Lord. John 12. The fragrance. The fragrance that's being released will entice you to sacrifice yourself. You will no longer enjoy the fragrance of self. You will want to sacrifice it. John 12 and verse 1. Let's speak this together. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had what? Raised from the dead. Now, I love this. Now, where was he? He was at a place where? Where somebody was dead and he what? Rose him from the dead. See, there's no coincidence in God. There they made him a supper and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. So Mary took this very expensive oil. Now I want you to know that the word spikenard means genuine or pure. It means genuine or pure. And in this, it's symbolic to consecration, dedication, and worship. Consecration, dedication, and worship. Spikenard is a representation. Its meaning is genuine and pure. So what she was doing is she was taking what was representation of genuine and pure and anointing the one who was genuine and pure. In verse 4, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now, listen, the whole room was filled with the fragrance, but he didn't smell it. Get this? He didn't smell it. His only thought was, wasted. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. So grab hold of this, that here everyone smelled it but the one that would betray him. This is what's going to happen. Go to Matthew chapter 2. Many will not receive the fragrance of the Lord. Matthew chapter 2. And that's what's going to happen. This fragrance, this wave is going to go across this country. And many will receive. And there's going to be many who will reject. In Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? for I have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. I said, what time the star appeared? In other words, when they came to Jesus and found him, he was already 2 years old. He was not there at the manger. The wise men did not come to the manger. They found Jesus after he'd been 2 years old. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. Didn't say baby, did it? Or infant. And when you have found him, bring him back. Bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Right. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, this is awesome in this because frankincense and myrrh are associated with a fragrance. But I want to share with you about gold. Gold is a representation of genuine and pure, which replaced the spikenard. Has everybody got that? So it's associated with genuine and pure. It's also, when you heat it, becomes transparent. It's associated with royalty and kingship. Gold. In fact, it's actually associated with the third chamber of the tabernacle. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Now, watch this. Frankincense is associated with, it's an incense, it's frank incense. Incense is associated with priesthood. It's where the saints offered up the incense by prayers. And it's where the priest set up the incense in the second chamber called the holy place, which is known as priesthood. Myrrh is used for burial. It's associated with Savior, known as the outer court. So when Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life, he was representing his fragrance. So everybody got it. Myrrh as the Savior, frankincense as the priest, of course the gold or spikenard as the king. And if you notice that in the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant, wasn't it? All covered with gold. So everybody got that. So when Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life, what they were doing, the things that they were bringing were representation of his fragrance. The fragrance of heaven, the eternal fragrance, came into the natural realm, representing all three chambers and all three offices. Go to Revelation 5. The eternal presence. And the eternal presence is carried, the eternal fragrance. And the eternal fragrance is carried by what? The anointing. That's why he's known as the anointed one and his anointing, because he carried the fragrance also. That's why many of them didn't like him. They couldn't handle the fragrance. They had their own stench. They didn't want to exchange. They weren't willing to sacrifice themselves. And Revelation chapter 5, in verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." So in this we see that the incense was associated with the prayers of the saints. And you and I have been called to be priests and kings, haven't we? Priests and kings. So the outer chamber is known as the salvation chamber. The second chamber, so you got the outer court, you have the holy place, which is priesthood, and the most holy place, which is kingship. Each one has a separate language, a separate fragrance, and a separate anointing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know how many believers don't even know what that is? There's going to be many believers who have never entered the second chamber known as the holy place. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So, in other words, we carry the aroma of Christ, the same aroma in the area of frankincense, myrrh, and spikenard. Has everybody got this? So in this, that's where the anointing oil was made, isn't it? They use those fragrances. So now Christ is releasing his fragrance, a fresh fragrance from the throne room of God. He's releasing it to the earth, and he's releasing it through the body. Those who are in divine position. And in hope, it's going to cause those who are out of position to get in position. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 1, Ephesians 5, 1. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as diligent. So if you're imitators of God, what are you releasing? Amen. You don't stink. No stinky fruit. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a what? Sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Why? Because that's going to release a what? It's going to release a foul fragrance. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Why are they? Why? Because they release a foul fragrance. because the presence of evil is a foul fragrance. If you've ever heard anybody who's gone to hell and come back, you know, many people have been taken in the spirit or brought, God allowed them to go to hell, or they died and they smelled sulfur. There was a wretched, disgusting smell. It was a different fragrance. And that's what God smells when we're out of divine order. Because if you're out of divine order, you're out of God's will. And if you're out of God's will, that means you're associating with the presence of evil. And if who you associate is what you become. So their fragrance, their scent now becomes on you. And now you cannot, that's where people can't offer themselves. They begin to fight for themselves instead of allow self to be sacrificed. Because they become in survival mode instead of surrender mode. And survival mode releases a foul fragrance. And God knows it. Amen? Go to Philippians 4, in verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall what? Supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Why? Because you are in divine order. You are willing to sacrifice yourself, which is releasing a sweet aroma to the Lord. And the willingness to sacrifice yourself, releasing the sweet aroma to the Lord, is releasing provision to you. So you're no longer fighting for your life. You are surrendering it. In fact, you are surrendering it so much that you're willing to sacrifice it. Go to Ezekiel 20. So, do you think that unforgiveness releases a sweet aroma or a foul one? Amen, foul. Why? Because unforgiveness is associated with self. Survival of self. It releases a foul aroma. Ezekiel chapter 20, in verse 40. 20:40. For on my holy mountain, on the mountain height of Israel, says the Lord God, there all the houses of Israel, all of them in the land, shall serve me. There I will accept them, and there I will require your offerings and the first fruits of your sacrifice, together with all of your holy things. I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will be hallowed in you before the... In other words, when I take you out of the world. In other words, why you and I are in the world, serving the world. That's why he says those who love the world, hello, are enemies of God. Why? Because they carry an foul aroma. He says, when I take you out of the world, you will be a sweet aroma to me. But many people have been taken out of the world, chose to go back into the world. So if they live according to the world, they are releasing a foul aroma. And it's not acceptable to God. Amen? It says in verse 42, then you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I raised my hand and an oath to give to your fathers. In other words, he's going to bring you into a promised land where he can promise us because we're covenant. Again, covenant is associated with the area that when you're in covenant with God, you know his promises. It's amazing how many people do not know God's promises. And then they try to fight the enemy with their words instead of eternal words. You can't call the devil old slew foot and whatever. They ain't going to do nothing. You can't call him a jerk and an idiot. It doesn't matter. It has no effect. Jesus didn't have no, it had no effect. Jesus, that's why he said, it is written. Why? Because he used the eternal words that brought creation to attack one of God's creations that walked away from him. He said, we don't understand that. You cannot fight the devil with your own words. You must fight the devil with eternal words. That's what penetrates. Amen. Fresh from the throne room of God. Did you ever notice that when a baby is born, there's such a sweet fragrance to a child? You know, it's like, I don't know what it is. Maybe Johnson & Johnson, I don't know. But, you know, there's such a fragrance to a baby. There's a special texture, you know, you want to just eat them. You know, cheeks that are just, you know, I remember being a real, anyways. When I was a child, man, I must have had fat cheeks because they used to take me all over by the cheeks, man. You know, they didn't take my ear, they took my mouth. But anyways, when you notice that when something, that fresh fragrance of a brand new baby is just, you know, even when you buy a new car, there's a fresh fragrance to it, something that's new, you know. And in this is God is releasing his fresh fragrance. It's coming through the earth now, but it's going through the body. And again, it's coming through the body. It's being released to the body of Christ, to those who are in divine order. Why? Because we must have a pure heart and clean hands. Right? Hallelujah. And in this fragrance that's coming into the coming across now, and starting in Florida, there is going to be a response. There's going to be a response. In fact, one of the responses is there's going to be worship. The fragrance of worship. Why? Because you're responding to the fragrance that's been released. That's why there's more worship going up through the world than there ever has been. Because there's a fragrance being released. And in this fragrance, it's going to be a response of worship. And the body of Christ is going to worship where God is going to allow his move to begin that wave of glory to come through. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. And First Peter chapter 2. Oh, in verse 1, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. That's not what I want. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. Is everybody there? Are you ready? Therefore, laying aside all what? Malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, woohoo, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice accepted to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So you can see the difference in the area of what the release of fragrance is. One is that of a sweet aroma, another is that of foul. And those who have a carry a foul fragrance, judgment will be brought forth. Again, when something is ripe, it releases a wonderful fragrance. Amen? Now, the fragrance of worship is going to be the response to his release of his eternal fragrance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'll go there, many are going to be drawn, because when God draws them, they're going to sense this fragrance that they don't even know is a fragrance, but they're just going to be drawn, and they're going to come to the Lord and get saved. So there'll be a great salvation. Amen? There'll be a great harvest in this release of this fragrance. But it's up to the body of Christ to get in divine order. It's up to the body of Christ. The Word says, if we will humble ourselves and seek the face of the Lord, he will heal our land. So in this, there's a setting of a place of altars. These are called prayer altars. So you must have your own prayer altar. There must be a prayer altar for your family, and then there's the corporate prayer altar. Amen? Where we come together and pray together. Why? Because prayer is associated with priesthood, isn't it? Amen. And it's associated with the frankincense, which releases a fragrance. And this is where you and I will lay ourselves on the altar in fulfillment of what God is requiring. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, is everybody there? 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the what? Flesh. Why? Because it releases a what? Foul fragrance. Stench. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, I want to share something with you. When we are in Christ, Christ meaning the anointing, amen, the anointed one and his anointing. When you are in Christ, that means you are in divine order. This does not have anything to do with, well, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This is if you are in Christ. There's a place of in Christ. In fact, in Christ is associated with the second chamber of the tabernacle, where priesthood is established. He who's in Christ, why? Because when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's associated with priesthood. That's why so many will never enter the second chamber, because they are rejecting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is where priesthood is established. Amen? Other than that, they'll stay in the outer court. So in this, he says, he who is in Christ is a what? Is a what? Is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become what? They become new. Now, we're going to go into another arena here really quickly, and we're going to move quickly. So he who is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. And the reason for that is because when you are in Christ and you are in divine order, and you're releasing the fragrance that's from heaven, that means that you are no longer living in the past. You are living from the future in the present. Has everybody got it? You are living from the future in the present. You are no longer living from the past in the present. You're living from the future in the present. Why? Because you are blessed with every spiritual blessing and you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Why? Because the fragrance you carry is fresh from the throne room of God. You are there with Him. Now, this is associated with our inner walk. Does everybody understand it? Our outer man still needs to catch up. That's why this is going to be destroyed and we will have a glorified body. But now, if you are in the Spirit, you are in divine order because you are in Christ. That means you are not bound by space and time by the inner man, only by the out. So the old man, the flesh, and the old self is associated and bound by space and time, isn't it? But the new self is one with Christ. And it says that you are seated with Him in heavenly places. So everybody got it? That means you're no longer living from the past. You're living from the future in the presence, and things are catching up to you, aren't they? Amen? Things are catching up to you. The only one that you're chasing is Him. You don't have to chase anything else. You're chasing Him. And there's something else that happens because in this fragrance that's being released, that's drawing men onto God, and then they're going to respond with a fragrance by worship and so forth, and they're going to get in the Spirit. It's going to move them in a spirit, another arena of dimension. And in this, it's going to bring them into the future. So everybody got this? Where you are seated with Christ. So if you are seated with Christ in that place, there's something that you skip. It's called judgment. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Okay. Now everybody think, well, that must be every believer. There's no condemnation for me then. All right, I'm okay. I can go out and fornicate and do whatever I want and offer up a foul sent to the Lord, and I'm okay. No, that's not true. He says, who do not walk according to the what? Flesh, but walk according to the... So if you're walking according to the Spirit, He says, you are in Christ. You are in divine order, and you're releasing a sweet aroma, a fragrance that allows you the same fragrance from the throne room of God. So there's no condemnation, is there? But to those who are not in divine order, who are releasing a foul aroma, is there condemnation? Yes. In other words, they cannot. They're living from the past to the present. They're not living from the future to the present. And if you're living from the past to the present, you will be under judgment and wrath of God. So if you're living from the future to the present, what are you bypassing? God's judgment. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Okay, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. That the what? Righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. So the only way to escape the condemnation, to be condemned, is to be in Christ, divine order, in the Spirit, living from the future to the present. That means you no longer associate with the presence of evil. Because the presence of evil, their scent, will expose you. A couple more scriptures and we're going to release a sweet aroma. Verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. A virgin, of course, is someone that's been washed by the blood. Amen? Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Eventually they'll change it to foulish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with them, with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they also slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Now again, oil is associated with that something that keeps burning, right? And something that keeps burning is always releasing a what? A fragrance. So what happened is they got out of divine order. The foolish ones got out of divine order. Whether it was they began to associate with the presence of evil, began to associate with works of self, whatever. And they were no longer able to maintain a release of fragrance because they were rejecting the fragrance God was sending to them. Why? Because you get filled by worship, don't you? Worship is a response to the fragrance of God. So they were rejecting the response. Amen? So they weren't getting filled. So they weren't able to release the fragrance of the Lord. So it separated those who were releasing a foul fragrance and those who were releasing the sweet aroma. In verse 7, then those who arose and trimmed their lamps, then all those virgins and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." In other words, you must sacrifice yourself, which is the price. And while they went to go buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Why? Because he does not know that fragrance. He does not know that fragrance. So it says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Go to Revelation 3. So we are talking about this because the Spirit is telling us things to come. This is what's getting ready to be released. God is going to use Central Florida to affect this country. And you either will be in it or not. The choice is yours. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 14, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Whew. "Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me" what? Gold. Gold refined in the fire. What's he talking about? Become genuine and what? Pure. "That you may be rich in white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your" what? "Eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And that's what he's saying now. I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. Eternal fragrance that's being released. Got to stay in divine order. That means he's first. He's number one. Not you or me, not our children and not our family, him. Him first. Him first, him first, him first, him first, him first. Not your job. Why? Because when you present yourself, he's first, and you're willing to sacrifice yourself, what comes? Provision. See, that's the play of the enemy right now, especially with the economy and everything else. What's he trying to do? He's trying to impart fear. So people aren't willing to sacrifice themselves or trusting themselves. In verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the what? Genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. For this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 12. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And in this, you will release a sweet aroma, pleasing to the Lord. I want to encourage you, be ready. Whatever it is that God is revealing to you that's preventing you from being in divine order, get in order. Repent and turn from your ways. If you are lukewarm, get hot. Ask, Lord, restore to me. You know, that's all it is. It's a simple matter of confession and asking. Lord, I believe I've become cold. I've lost my zeal for you. Please restore it to me. Man, he's a dad. He wants to. Lord, expose those things in my life. Let me be a sweet aroma to you. And show me what I need to do so I don't miss your move, but that I'm a part of it so that you can move through me. Amen? So that you can move through the body of Christ. See, it doesn't have to be bottled. You're the vessel. Amen? You're the vessel. You carry the anointing. We use this as a point of contact. But some who are not smelling correctly, we use this. It's called the heavenly anointing oil, right? The fresh fragrance from the throne room of God. And to God be the glory. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Lord, that the seed that's been empowered, imparted, infiltrate deep within us. Let it grow, bear fruit for your glory. Let it take root in a mighty way. Mighty way. That we be willing to continually sacrifice ourselves trusting in you to provide all of our need according to your riches and glory. Trusting in you to be the source of everything and guide us to all your resources. Trusting you to heal us. Trusting you to open doors and shut doors. Trusting you to guide us all the way home. And trusting you in every area of our life with our families, our children, our seeds, and promises of your covenant. Lord, we trust you. Release us from ourselves that we can be a sweet-smelling aroma to you, well-pleasing and acceptable in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.